What a week. Now, obviously, for those who might be joining us for the first time today, welcome to the Mix family.
Yeah.
And each Friday I do a sort of a wrap-up of either the week's news or a story that's touched me. It can be a song or a sketch or, you know, whatever, however it comes.
Quite broad, really, isn't it? We just say, Matt, just get your creative juices flowing.
Yeah, which I love and I really appreciate. And this week, for me, the biggest story, and I was kind of surprised, I guess, in a way, or not, to see just the emotion, the outpouring of emotion after the passing of Trisha the elephant at the Perth Zoo. You know, she's been with us since 1963. Mm-hmm. I remember as a kid going to the zoo and her initial enclosure was not particularly nice.
No, things got a bit better.
They really did. It was literally like a concrete thing and it wasn't great. But over time, you know, we made her home a little bit more lovely. And so many people seem to have a story related to going to the zoo, maybe having a selfie with her or being there at an important moment in their time. And as I said earlier, I was playing this for my wife just to say, oh, do you think the song's okay? And she's like, I said, why didn't you laugh at that joke? And she went, I can't laugh. I'm really upset.
Aww.
So beautiful Trisha has left us. She lived a very, very long life. What can I say? Trisha, see you later.
It's closing time. Give me your trunk, Trisha. Time for one last walk round now. Time for one final peanut. You reached a ripe old age. All of Perth be standing. The noble Trisha's exiting the stage. It's sad to know. When you first came to Perth Zoo, Trisha, your home was a small concrete enclosure Tash Peterson would have spewed. But in time it changed, made your home more jungly and made it more like your birthplace, Vietnam.
To Perth you came, gave you a Perth beauty queen's name, Trisha. Through your soulful eyes you made us feel more sane. And now you've gone, sadness we're feeling. Too sad to talk, built a memorial type walk for you. We still have you in our memories, selfies round your trunk. You were Mother Earth, and I bet no other elephant had such a property profile in South Earth. It's closing time, give me your trunk, Trisha. Time for one last walk round now, time for one final peanut. You reached a ripe old age. All of Perth be standing. The noble Trisha's exiting the stage. It's sad to know. When you first came to Perth Zoo, Trisha, your home was a small concrete enclosure Tash Peterson would have spewed. But in time it changed.
Oh, Maddie.
I was thinking what a beautiful song it was until that last tiny bit as it faded out. Just and a few extra notes.
I came to realise yesterday that I've really dropped my standards as a human being of late.
Oh,
like real,
should,
like really drop a standard.
Yeah, well, totally proud of you.
Thank you so much. It's finally good to be here. But you guys know that I pride myself on, you know, like dressing good,
yes,
and going to the gym in the morning, all that sort of stuff, and you come in here ready to hit the day and hit the ground running. I don't know if it's the cold weather or the rain or the fact that I've just given up, but it was very apparent yesterday. So I went and caught up with our friend Michelle Maynard, Michelle Money Maynard, who we get on to chat about finances. And I walked in there in my Xbox hoodie.
Yes.
Now, this is a very nice establishment in Osborne Park.
And you were there for official financial, what, like tax or something,
yeah,
was
tax.
It? Okay, so it wasn't just a drop in to have a coffee.
No, this is the sort of place where you walk in and they offer you sparkling water on arrival.
Right.
Would you like a coffee? So here, come and have a sit in this very nice boardroom, all that sort of stuff.
To be perfectly clear, even if it was you're walking into a cement room with lino on the floors and there's nothing else in here, I still wouldn't think it's okay to wear an hoodie.
Yeah, I think so.
I love my hoodie, don't get me wrong, but hoodie is a home outfit.
Oh, even better, it's like a game branded hoodie.
Yeah,
it's
and like that's a piece like a 3/4 length, isn't it?
Yeah. It looks like a muumuu. Yeah.
Well, it's a 6XL hoodie.
Yeah.
That's what they're based on.
There's that. Well, then you're going to love this because I was also in Ugg boots.
So what you rocked up to work in yesterday is what you wore out and about.
Yeah, so these Ugg boots I'm holding up in my hand.
Yeah, but
now.
What we wear in here is not outdoor wear. Like, our boss lets us dress quite casually.
Well, it's become outdoor wear. And not only that, like, I've rocked up to the car park. And the other thing is, like, I've been trying to eat really well, too, for a long time.
Yeah.
That's just gone out the window, too.
Yeah, like, you haven't been in your gym gear for a while.
No, I haven't. No, I've been in my Uggies for a long time. Mm. I looked across to the car park and there was almost like a Jiffy food van sitting there. And I went over and, you know, there's a great array of salads and all this healthy sort of eating stuff. And I bought the sausage roll. So I've wanted in there with a sausage roll.
But you were in sausage roll clothes.
Yeah, no,
there was
right.
No way. If you were wearing your sneakers and your little skins or whatever you wear, your tights or your shorts, and then you went over there, you would have bought the healthy thing. But because you were in Uggs and an hoodie, it was like sausage roll.
I've really gone comfy. In fact, I'll play you the soundtrack to my life at the moment. this is me just sort of wandering around Perth. It's like...
Oh, that makes it so much better.
I mean, man, there are times that I go out even to bring the bins in that my wife looks at me and goes, you cannot go out onto the street looking like that.
Excellent.
There you go, Maddie. You're out there.
Socks and thongs, pajama pants that show way too much.
I say you shouldn't wear your hoodie out, but like I haven't brushed my hair in a while.
Oh, so you drop your standards too? That's good.
Very rarely. I brush my hair about once a week.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time I just fill it with dry shampoo and stick it in a top knot. I haven't brushed my hair properly for, I don't know, possibly years.
I haven't brushed my teeth for a week.
Oh, great. How have you dropped your standards? And we'll celebrate this. It's winter. Yeah, it's winter. Big warm hug.
Yeah,
all
totally.
Right? Come into the safe space, okay, around the fire here.
I did something different this week.
What?
I wore my tracksuit pants to walk the dog. And I never wear tracksuit pants out of
goodness.
The house.
Oh, goodness.
I know. Because they don't fit my bum. As you know, there's a lot. So it always looks like I've got a lot, like I'm packing a lot back there when I'm not. So I just don't wear them. And I did this week. It was cold.
Nice work. Producer Rami, who'd you pop in there?
Yeah, I've got one.
Go on.
I haven't had a shower since Wednesday.
What? You
dirty bird.
I wasn't sure if I'd just say this on the radio. It's a point of contention at home. It's just too cold.
Too cold to have a warm shower.
I don't want to get naked. Don't want to get water all over my face.
You have been wearing that puffer jacket for days. Is it just trapping all of your body smells in?
Just good cologne.
Good cologne.
Good cologne.
New fragrance for men, Rami.
Hi, Jackie. Have you dropped your standards?
Oh, I most certainly have. Morning, guys. How are we?
We're good, Jackie. How low have you gone?
Well, I'm with Pete on this one. I actually quite regularly hang out in my Uggies, my trackies, my baby Yoda hoodie and my beanie, and I will go to the shops in it. I will go to the bottle shop, and if I'm at home, you'll find me out the front with my wine in my hand.
Oh, Jackie, you're out there, Jackie.
There's nothing better than hitting the bottle shop in your dressing gown, in my opinion.
What though? I mean, it's hard because what's the difference between us sort of go, oh, I'd like to sort of make more effort with my appearance. The other half of me is like, why am I not happy with what I'm doing?
Totally.
Life is short. I can wear whatever I want.
Absolutely. Yeah. Michael in Byford, what about you?
Hello. I believe I've found the best let yourself go hack.
Oh, great. All right.
Yeah, I've traded in my leather belt for an elasticated one.
Oh,
so you no longer have to care. You can just stretch into it. And it's like a placebo as well, weight loss placebo, because if you want a little pick-me-up in the morning, you just pull it a little bit harder and you've got extra excess there.
Oh.
And it seems like you've lost a bit of weight, but you actually haven't. You know, it's so great, honestly.
An elasticated belt. I don't know that I've seen one. But...
Well, it's just elastic piece of elastic, right, that you tie off. Because there's nothing more, you know, difficult to deal with than that notch on the belt that keeps getting wider.
I haven't worn a belt since May, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Tennille in Piara Waters, good morning. How have you dropped your standards?
Good morning, guys. I have an alarm set every 10 minutes every single morning. In summer, I'm really good. I get up within 2 hits of the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
But in winter, when I hit snooze, it re-turns on the alarm for the next 4 minutes. So I have a pretty much an alarm going from 7 a.m. till about 8:20. when I finally roll out of bed, and then every single day I'm late to work. This morning I have a morning meeting, so I set the alarm for 6, and I'm meant to be at work by 8. So I grabbed a tiramisu from the fridge and I ate that while driving.
Oh, yes!
It's quite a common thing just to grab whatever I can see first in the fridge and grab that. Take it for the drive for breakfast.
Tennille, we have this conversation at work sometimes because I can't understand why people flirt with the snooze button rather than having another hour
it's
of uninterrupted
so
sleep.
You're right.
Tennille,
you're right.
The best thing to do if you're running late is to set your alarm so late that you don't get to sleep
in. Yes.
Like, I only give myself 15 minutes to get ready for work, so there's no room for error.
No.
As soon as the alarm goes off, I have to get up because I've only got 15 minutes to get dressed and get in the car.
God, tiramisu for breakfast is a new level. Well done. Yeah, I love it.
Now, guys, we're going to chat about this because it seemed to get us talking this morning. Like, we just come in and we, you know, chat amongst ourselves. And I said, look, I saw this thing on Twitter. We started chatting and we went, maybe it's worth bringing up.
Okay.
So a mum had posted on Twitter this week saying she'd run into a few of her three-year-old child's classmates, so kindy or whatever they do.
Okay.
And she said, my son's having a birthday party. Could you give me your email address so that I can send you the invite?
Mm-hmm.
And so far, when she had done that, all 100% of dads, at that point she'd given out 5 of them, and 5 dads gave their wives' email address instead of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, okay, now this has become a social experiment. Why are all these dads giving me their wives' email address when I've simply said, give me your email address and I'll send you the invite? And so she's put it online and gone, this is an interesting social experiment. Why is this happening? And it was really amazing responses because a lot of people have gone, you know what, it sort of seems like dads might be here like offloading domestic duties to their wives without really realizing they're doing it.
Possible.
Right? Like unintentionally just kind of going, oh, you know what, like my wife will handle that. Here's her email.
Yep.
Right. So there's a lot of people going, yeah, actually, I've just realized my partner does this to me all the time. Hang on a second. Why am I getting duties offloaded to me just because you can't be bothered? But what's been fascinating, what's fascinating is that there are a bucket load of dads that have gone on to defend themselves with things like, well, what if he had trouble reading and his wife helps him read?
Okay, well, that's dumb.
As well as, I won't give out an email address to a woman in case my wife sees it and thinks I'm having an affair.
Okay.
Some trust issues there.
Or one that says, oh, my wife knows the dates and times of our plans. I tend to forget like all of that stuff, so I just give it to her.
Well, I can relate to that last one a little bit more. I can. And if I'm honest, I probably do the same thing because I feel like my wife is across that stuff and I'm not.
Isn't it great when you're good at something and so people make you do it? Like maybe she's just good at it because she has to be because you're admitting you're useless at it.
Well, yeah, there's some truth in that. Sure.
So you accidentally, you're like, I'm offloading duties to my partner without even knowing I'm doing it.
Now, here's the thing, because I jumped in here when we were talking about this before.
I know you did, because you're all going to try and justify why it's okay to give your wife an email.
I'm not accidentally doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it on purpose.
Same. Yes.
Right? And and because my wife and I have had that discussion in our household where it's like, you are better at it than I am. Now, if I was, the whole domestic duties thing is an interesting thing because where the difference I see is I don't say to my wife, do the dishes because I'm not good at it. You know what I mean? Like all of that stuff we share equally.
Yeah.
Dishes. I'm terrible when it comes to doing the washing. So, like, she takes care of, like, the washing and stuff like that.
This and just then sounds like we're all in relationships that are, like, codependent and I'm helping you with all the things you're terrible at. Is that what a partnership does,
where you pick up each other's weaknesses and if you've got strengths in other departments?
Sure.
Make life just go a little easier.
And that's I
would, if I was in charge of the diary, we'd be in so much trouble.
Right.
And I just and
but wouldn't you have to if you were a single dad or if you were like you would have to do those things. The reason that you're not doing them is really because someone else is doing them for you.
Yes,
absolutely.
And it's because you give her email address.
Yes, I do. Because if, okay, if I cool, gave just my checking. Email address, my kids would never go to the birthday parties they've been invited to. Like, I think that's fair. I actually think that's genuinely fair.
And it works the other way too.
Yeah,
I do jobs that my wife's not that interested. Like, I quite like grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. Yep. She's not that into it.
Oh, she loves doing the scheduling and the planning, I'm sure.
No,
loves the job.
Sure.
See, like, you do the groceries because you don't mind doing it.
Well,
but
I don't
do the diary because you're not that great at it.
Yes.
Yeah, but once I don't mind doing it, it doesn't cause me so much emotional.
So, look, we've got people calling up.
Karen in Waikiki, what do you reckon?
I think people overlook things, really. I think you look too much into it. When my kids were going to school, I was the one that dealt with all the school parties. So if my husband got told to give someone's email, he would give mine because I was the one that did the parties if it was on a Saturday or Sunday, mostly because my husband works Saturdays. So, you know.
Sure.
I just think, people look too much into things.
Oh, I mean, they certainly do. I mean, I said to the boys, they said the same thing. They're like, oh, it just is easier that way and that's just how it works in our house. And I was like, yeah, cool, but I guess she still could have sent the email to you and you could have forwarded it on.
Sure.
You could have had that discussion with your wife because what happens in your planning is your planning, but, you know.
Yeah, it's too hard. You're the wife, take care of it. Brad, good morning, mate. You know, you've got an explanation. Give us this, please.
Yeah, look, if I would pick the kids up, and I do quite regularly, I'd pick them up, and if a mother or a father or someone would say, oh, look, there's a birthday party on, that's fine, I already know about it, they tell me about it, and I'll give them the email address, goes to my wife, she works as well as I do, so then, you know, we'll sit down, we'll do the stuff with the kids, we'll do the schoolwork, have dinner, do whatever, and then she'll flick through her email, and she goes, oh, it's a birthday party, I says, oh, yeah, yep, that's right, it's on Saturday, just wanted you to know about it, I'll take them.
Yeah, nice.
So it's just sharing information, it's not, oh, the party on, you do it. It's there's something on just so I don't disappoint the kids. I don't want to forget.
Yeah, and a bit of a reminder so that, like, oh, once I've put it out there, she'll get it and then we can bring it up.
And again, I admit to you, Kimber, that it probably is a sort of, you know, passing of the buck a little bit. But every night in bed I say to T, okay, tomorrow, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
Because I can only cope with 24-hour blocks. I can't cope with other planning than that.
Erin in Les Meadi, what are your thoughts, mate?
Hello. Yes, I am definitely all for, like, division of labor. I appreciate, though, Pete, that you said that you at least had a discussion with your wife about it, because I think as long as there's a discussion and not just an assumption, that there's going to be, you know, I'll handle these things and you handle those things. And then also for me, it's a lot about, like, acknowledgement that person handles that certain task.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going along with the assumption thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me also, well, too, like, the running of a household, like, is, it involves all family members. So it shouldn't just be one person washing the dishes or cleaning or that sort of thing. If there's multiple people living in the household, you should all be contributing to the daily running of that household.
Yeah. Because you often hear the language. Yeah. It's a language thing, isn't it? We've got things to change, I think. But you do hear people go, oh, my husband always helps me with the dishes. And I was like, what do you mean helps you? Like, it's not your role.
Yeah.
Just stand
to
here
do
going,
the
you're
dishes.
Doing a great job, love.
Like,
a great job.
He helps me run the, you know, I'm like,
well, it's actually like
it's
when,
not your job. You're doing it together.
Yeah, like, it's like when they, you know, when when mums have got the kids. And this is, and I hear it a lot, when mums have got the kids, it's like, you know, it's mum with the kids. But when dads have got the kids, it's he's looking after the kids. Like, he's not the parent. You know what I mean? Like, it's that. Yes. And I've heard that even. So, you know, I suppose we all make...
Look at you. Aren't you a good dad?
It's like, yes, because I'm trying to keep my kids alive. Dad. Exactly. Erin, it's an interesting thing that Erin said about the whole discussion thing. I know I said that.
It's about going, you don't have to come in with any kind of defensive position. It's just a thing of going, I need to be aware. Maybe we're doing this to our partners in our lives without realising we're doing it.
Yeah.
And, of course, every single relationship is its own nuanced thing. There's no one size fits all.
Yeah, now go and get us a cup of tea.
Yeah,
right?
Sure, no worries.
He's one of Australia's funniest blokes who once held a Guinness World Record for the most jokes told in an hour. Get your stopwatches ready, people. It's Limo.
Oh, you beauty, Pete, Matt, Kimber, the highlight of my week. Lovely to be with you all again. Hey, and I'm extra happy because, guys, I survived a two-week holiday in a camper van with my wife and my son and my mother-in-law and my wife's best friend.
Oh, wow. It got bigger and bigger and bigger as you, rattled off the number of people who were in there.
I'll tell you what, Matt, I did not think ahead about this. We went in a six-berth camper van and we drove from Alice Springs to Uluru and all the way up to Darwin. Six berth is not six berth, people.
No.
Oh, no, it's much like a tent, isn't it? It's like sleep six, but that's only if you're on top of one another.
We got to know each other way too well. Here's a bonding experience you don't need in your life. Emptying out the camper van toilet at a dump point. Now,
where's your dump point?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know my mother-in-law way too well right now.
Anthony, I think that's a dump point over there. Empty me bowels in there.
Do you want to empty my number twos over there, Anthony?
Oh, was it fun? Were there elements of it that you thought, this is a family experience that we can't recreate? Look at all these memories we're making.
Oh, trust me, the memories are going to last for a very long time. How good they are is another question. At one point, we drove into Tennant Creek, and my wife said, that's it, I've had enough, I'm flying to Daly Waters from here. And I said, really? And she went to the reception of the caravan park, run by a lovely husband and wife team, said, I want to book a flight to Daly Waters. And the wife, who's the husband and wife at reception, the wife goes, why? And my wife goes, it's an emergency. And the woman goes, well, call 000.
Oh, great.
And then my wife goes, no, it's a work emergency. And there's my wife standing there, right? In Doc Martens, tartan pants, a Kiss t-shirt, and bleach blonde rock chick mullet, right?
Yeah.
With a fake gold chain around her neck, okay? And then the woman says, behind the counter goes, well, I can get you a Greyhound bus. And the bloke apparently was writing, stopped writing mid-sentence, looked up at my wife, then turned to his wife and said, she's not getting a Greyhound bus, mate.
You could tell, just judged it.
I judged it beautifully. Hey, but guys, I wanted to talk to you briefly about the massive news this week that Bunnings, can you believe this? I know you've mentioned it on the show. The $2.50 snag has gone up to $3.50.
Yeah. Sign Unreal, of the times, isn't it? Mate.
Unbelievable. And people are losing their minds over this at the moment. Hey, but what they're forgetting is the rest of the menu. Have you seen that? It's not just the $3.50 snag. Bunnings have gone mad on this. Oh. Have a listen to their most recent ad.
Coming down to Bunnings on a Saturday, we always get a Bunnings snag. You know, gold coin in hand. We probably wouldn't even buy them if they were more expensive.
Classic beef sausages and white bread with tomato sauce, just $3.50. Pork sausage and your choice of breads with sweet chilli sauce, $3.95. British Cumberland sausage and rye bread with barbecue sauce, just $4.20. Pork and fennel sausage and sourdough with mild American mustard, $4.90. Linda McCartney's vegetarian sausage and gluten-free bread with flying goose vegan sauce, just $6.50.
I don't even know what I'm eating anymore.
With $3.50 beef snags and bread are just the beginning.
Oh, some terrific voice work there, too.
I can't believe Linda McCartney's vegetarian range made it in. Yeah. I'm thrilled. There's something for everyone.
Snag. It's a strong snag.
Good on you, mate. Hey, nice to speak with you. Have a good week, buddy.
Thank you, legends.
Of course, it's the kind of weather that you want, like warm, warming, wholesome food. And T, my beautiful wife and I have been going down that road of we made like a sausage, bean, cabbage soup yesterday. Well, my wife did. Absolutely beautiful.
Mm.
But there's no doubt about it, combining legumes, cabbage, that really does create quite a lot of gas.
Oh, sausages too. I mean, you've just gone the gas pie.
Really have. Anyway, that's not what I came to here to talk about. I guess the last, can you believe it, 2.5 years of stupid COVID we've been dealing with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's turned even people like me, who I never really sort of thought much about germs and whatnot, it's turned us all into germophobes, really, and, you know, hand sanitizing and washing like never before. But one of the things I've always been a bit kind of really about, when you go into a public toilet,
mm-hmm.
not the funnest places to go into at the best of times, let alone when you're feeling a bit germophobic, but the hand air dryers.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Now, purported to be the more hygienic way of drying your hands and presumably a bit better for the environment, not using taps, right? But I've always felt that in that kind of fetid, humid environment that is the public toilet, that it's just kind of blowing around germy old air.
Oh,
I've never felt particularly comfortable using them. And a doctor, someone on the internet wearing a white coat.
Totally legit.
Yeah, totally legit, did a test with those Petri dishes
mm-hmm.
where he put them under various hand dryers in public toilets, and also just sort of mimicked what it would be like just to shake your hands dry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just would sort of shake your hands dry, very little bacteria after 3 days grew on this Petri dish.
Yep.
Using the hand dryers. Oh, boy.
Gross.
How bad?
We're talking a universe of bacteria.
Universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, so, I've always known that they're gross. Like, I thought it was well documented that they were disgusting and that they were full of germs.
Mm.
But the trade-off was that you don't have wet hands.
Yes.
So it was very much like, yeah, I could drip dry, but it sucks.
Yes.
And because when you're often leaving a public toilet and you have to touch a door handle again.
And the other person has to touch your wet hands, you know,
it all just
feels
a bit gross, doesn't it?
Do you guys do the hand dryers where you dip? So there's the hand dryers, you stick your hands underneath.
Underneath, yes.
And then there's the hand dryers where you dip your hands into them going down. Do you touch the... Do you try to avoid the edges?
It's like playing that game Operation.
Me too.
You don't want to touch those bloody edges. And he put a Petri dish under one of those too. It didn't turn out too crash hot.
It's pretty, it's tough, isn't it? I often find I end up drying my hands on my calves.
On your calves?
Yep, that's the trick.
Well, hands in pockets does a pretty good job too.
Oh, women, we hardly have any pockets in our clothes.
Right,
we just celebrate where we have pockets. But you know,
this is going to look out for the next time I see you drying your hands on your calves. And
because you know what? If you wipe it on your thighs and stuff, it's pretty obvious. Wipe it on your calves, no one really sees.
Oh, Kim is massaging her calves again.
Dockers News, you'll hear that first right here. And Boomer Home Loans, they're first for over 55s. Please welcome Dockers coach, Justin Longmuir.
Saturday night, the Swans, 5:30 bounce out at Optus Stadium. It is going to be a monster night. What a great test for the boys having a ripping couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Feel like we're in some pretty good form, and they're definitely in good form. They took care of Western Bulldogs last week, and it's going to be a great challenge for us.
Very exciting time of the year. What, 6 rounds to go? And we were just having a chat about sides like Sydney, how they manage to stay there or thereabouts despite the draft, despite, you know, fluctuations in form. They're that sort of club, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They've done a really good job. And they've sort of transitioned their list really quickly to one being that young. They're pretty young now, and they've got some really... Yeah, great young players that are coming through with a mix of older players showing them the way. So, which is a little bit similar to us in some respects. So, it's going to be a good challenge. They play a good brand of footy, and they play an exciting brand of footy. So, we're going to have to be at our best.
Mm.
Now, there's been lots of chat around Buddy Franklin, and I know you can't talk about that specifically, but hypothetically, if he were going to join the boys, where would you put him?
So
there's a good Ruddy Manklin came along.
That is a great question, and I love the way you framed it because you've asked me to answer a hypothetical, which will end up on the back page of the paper.
Yeah, we knew because I asked you a similar question just last week about Luke Jackson, and so we pre-prepared your answer in case if you wanted it.
It's a great question, and one I'm not willing to go anywhere near. Because it just opens a big can of worms, and I know that someone's going to be listening to this, and they're going to take it out of context, and it's not really my job to talk about other players at other clubs.
Thanks for answering that question, coach.
Yeah, very good.
What
very
a professional
good.
You are, nothing if not consistent.
It's not my first rodeo. It comes to those sort of questions.
We're getting close now. What is it? We're at round 17, there's only five rounds left in the season. The boys have a realistic chance at, finishing top of the table. But how are you keeping a lid on it? Because as we get closer to round 23 and finals, that's the noise that's going to start really building to a peak now.
Yeah, this is a new challenge for us, being where we are on the ladder. You get caught up in a lot of different things, and one of those is expectations, I guess. So it's about, just remaining really consistent and process orientated internally, because we're playing teams that have got, last week, St Kilda, season on the line, it was elimination final. Port Adelaide the week before, they called it an elimination final because they have to win nearly every game on the run home. So we're playing teams that are bringing their best. So we've framed it up to embrace that and try and flip it into playing our way and remaining focused on our processes and that type of thing. Because you're right, your mind can shift to weeks ahead and you can get caught up in the external noise and outcomes and those sorts of things. And you don't have to be far off to get a bit of a lesson in AFL footy. So, yeah, it's a new challenge for us. It's a whole of club thing, though. Our leaders have been really good at making sure that the playing group's really focused. And, you need to win every game. It's just so tight at the top and so tight. We're not guaranteed a final spot yet. So we've got to lock that away before we start thinking about all these other things. So, stay in the moment.
Would it be fair to say that you're just going to take it one week at a time?
Yeah, I think so. The moment I come in here and say, we'll start focusing on finals.
We've prepared an answer for it.
I think you just come across like a proud dad. You're a proud dad, Justin.
Yeah, no, I am proud of the efforts of the players. Yeah, absolutely. And, hopefully we can roll it out again this week.
Well, we're super excited for you. I understand you have to keep a lid on it, but it's, more power to you.
I think, supporters of the club and those – And everyone should be excited about our journey so far and what we've got ahead of us. But, we just can't get caught up in that.
Of course.
Don't get caught up in that.
No. We've got State Daddy and we got Frio Daddy.
Stay level like Pete.
You can win a Frio Boundary Rider experience at mix.com.au thanks to Boomer Home Loans. First for over 55s. Fremantle taking on Sydney. We'll see you at Optus Stadium Saturday night. Thanks, Coach.
Get on yous, guys.
Guys, welcome to the future. This is a new, probably one-off segment I'm going to call Beyond 2022.
Okay.
Beyond 2000 was a fantastic show.
Wasn't it, Charles? Amanda Keller?
Been in that.
Yeah, yes. Amanda Keller. I think there was somebody else who may have, gotten in there. But I always was kind of oh my God, what's going to happen when we hit the year 2000?
Oh, tell me about it.
And then they sort of stuck to, I think that the show may have been around for another couple of years after we went past Y2K. And then it was kind of it's probably a bit redundant calling this Beyond 2000 now, isn't it?
The things that I dreamed would be after 2000.
And the opening
theme. All we got was Y2K. Well,
yeah, so true.
You know what was really ironic about it?
What?
It was cancelled in 1999.
Was it really? Can't we just change the name? can you change the name? All right, you're back on.
So there you go. So Beyond 2000, Beyond 2022, you guys, a little something for you. Now, that I follow a page on Instagram called yup.that.exists.
Yes.
Yes, you've told us some strange inventions and things that have gone on there.
And I've come across another one, quite a futuristic invention that I actually find quite exciting.
Mm-hmm.
A British company, British-Polish entrepreneur, has actually started on their website saying that they legitimately can now install a bank chip into your hand.
Shippedation.
Oh.
Now, I mean...
Just
before we let Kimber off the leash here,
I mean,
if we can do it with dogs, I don't see it's that it's, you know, new technology, really.
That's a fair point. Yeah. But I haven't thought that far ahead on this idea.
Okay, sorry.
So, that's good. I'm glad you brought that up. So I'm not entirely sure where they sort of go from here, but they're actually saying, right, so the company's called Walletmore, Walletmore, and they're the first ever company providing legitimate payment implants, and they're saying they can actually put those implants anywhere in your body.
Sure.
Anywhere.
And it's a big deal. I guess when you microchip a pet... All that does is go to a database.
You thought the exact same thing I did.
Well, because it goes
scan through... that if you can.
Because it goes to a database if you like microchip your pet, where all you can put in is your name and address.
Sure.
But like banking, where it's actually live communicating, taking money out of your account, and doing that stuff's creepy.
Yeah.
Well, I see that and I go, okay, this is like every future sci-fi horror movie I've ever seen. Like,
I haven't even put my credit card on my phone. You know, those people, those of you who go and use your phone to pay for stuff, there is no way I'm ever doing that.
You mean like me? So firstly, customers download an app called iCard and you set up your account.
Give them all your details. Yeah, never been hacked. Never been hacked.
Customers then activate their implant via the iCard app and add money to their account. And then the final step is booking an appointment to have the implant installed at a medical aesthetics clinic.
A medical aesthetics clinic.
We look medical.
Aesthetically, you'd think we're medical.
Which is ironic because you can't see it.
Can't they just get all your details off Ticketek, off your Ticketek account? It's horrifying.
Ah, it's fine.
It's the generational gap, isn't it? You find it exciting. I find it like every horror is.
Matt and I can't. We're working out how to shut this down. I'm thinking, do I need to cut my hand off before they chip me? I'm trying to find out ways to get around it.
Possibly.
They can chip you anywhere.
Oh, God.
Maybe they've already chipped you.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so there you go.
You could get it into your butt. It would give you a bit of filler.